San Francisco and NYC. We'll be having shows in December in your area. First, December 8th, we've got Hack City, our monthly stand-up show. Tickets already going fast. It's happening at 7:30 p.m. at Union Hall in Brooklyn. Then, on December 19th, we've got two shows in San Francisco happening at Arcana, that's in the Mission. There's a show at 7 and at 9:30. Two shows, December 19th, 7 and 9:30 in San Francisco. Tickets for all of our events in the episode description or go to asiannotasianpod.com. Come hang out with your favorite Asian friends. That's me and Jenny. And who knows else who's going to come. It's going to be great. See you then.
They start talking about jiu-jitsu, and then they start rolling on the floor at the strip club. That's so gross, by the way.
And welcome to everybody to another episode of the Asian Not Asian podcast. It's the podcast with all your favorite Asian friends. It's Mike Nguyen, and it's just me today again. Because Jenny is in Japan, probably buying some pants with a short inseam because she is only 3 feet tall. I don't know if you guys know that. She's a very small person, but she has a big heart, let me tell you. So it's just going to be me. I'm the opposite. I'm pretty tall, tiny heart. And it's a bummer. Real quick before we start, we got Hack City. We got two shows. One in New York, we're going to be bi-coastal Asians soon, okay? We're going to have a show in New York City, the next Hack City, that's going to be, let me check real quick before I say anything. The last one of 2023 will be December 8th, that's at Union Hall in Brooklyn, as always, second Friday of every month. It's at 7 o'clock, check that out, December 8th. And then me and Jenny are going to be in San Francisco, and we're doing a show there. I don't have the details yet. You may have heard a pre-roll by the time this comes out. I may have put a little thing. But just in case, we're going to be doing a show in December in San Francisco. We're organizing that, putting the details together. It'll be me and Jenny, and we're going to have some fun. Okay? Please come out. It'll be a lot of fun. And it'll probably be a weeknight, unfortunately, because Christmas time is just crazy time to put a show together. So would love to see you there. Check out the episode description, and or you can just Google asiannotasianpod.com and you can find what shows we're going to be doing. I'm going to bring on our guest because I just think it's creepy that he's just sitting here not reacting to me in any way at all. So
Was I supposed to? No, that's good.
I should have warned you. I should have warned myself that that was going to happen. This guy is a comedian. That's it, right? You got any other things you want to say?
That's it. That's all I want to be known for.
Do you? Know?
Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day. It's like, what do you want to be known for? What are three things you want to be remembered by?
Who the fuck asked you that?
It's like this guy Patrick. He like makes like Asian films. I don't know.
Oh,
but
okay.
I was like, three is a lot to be remembered by. Three is two. One of them is gonna be bad if it's three.
Well,
and then yeah, I think two would be like good person, good comic, but not in that order.
Okay. Well, this guy's a comedian. I didn't know he wanted to be a good person, but I'm going to think about that. Vic Tran, everybody.
Hey, long time listener. First time caller. Good to be here.
I can't believe you've not been on the show before.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's great to be here.
This is super nice. Dude, do you go by Vic Van Tran?
I've been trying that out.
Have you?
Yeah.
Do you want me to do your intro again as Vic Van Tran?
What do you think? You think it sounds cool? I'm so insecure about it.
Really? Why?
It's just like, it's almost like giving yourself your own nickname, you know? It's
but
like,
is your the middle
I'm
name
the
Van?
Reptilian. It's like, you're a fucking
but it's
loser.
Not, hold on, but it's not a nickname. Is that your name?
Van? It is my name.
That's not even a nickname.
Yeah.
It's not like you're Vic the Van Tran, you know? That would
the
be a very
Van
Vietnamese
Tran.
Name.
Yeah,
Mini Van Tran. Pile up in him. I'll give it. This guy, you're gonna love him. He performs comedy all over the country. Give it up right now for Vic Van Tran.
Oh yeah, I do like the sound of that.
Yeah, you like that more?
Sound good. Yeah.
That's fun.
It might be that.
Okay, Vic Van Tran. I'll put that in the episode too. So, I think it's a very Vietnamese thing. If I can just say real quick,
yeah,
that I don't know as a Vietnamese performer for us to like have a very like stagey name. Like we have a stage name that's different. I don't know. Like for example, like my name is Michael Nguyen. Mm-hmm. I go by MIC Nguyen because I thought it would make me unique. It doesn't at all because there's millions of MIC Nguyens. I thought it would make me stand out. It doesn't.
I don't know any.
I'm the only one I actually know, but if you Google it, there's a lot of MIC Nguyen, Mike Nguyens. I don't know why. There's just like tons, and they're all like, of course, like pharmacists. But like, I always think about like how Vietnamese people, because we have kind of generic names a lot of times.
Yeah.
It's always like, you know, Peter Nguyen or whatever. If we want to go into showbiz, we have to have like a fun name.
Yeah.
That will make us stick out. You can't just be like, you know, Kathy Tran. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That doesn't have a fun...
You can't be a Kathy. Yeah. It's the last name. That's what gets us. Because there's like three last names.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a guy on Twitter. His handle's like Victor Tran. And for a long time, when I was much younger, I would DM him and I'd be like, give me your name or I'll kill you.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah, I used to DM him like crazy stuff.
You know how you said...
I'll find you.
You know how you said you wanted to remember, be remembered as a comic and as a good person?
Yeah, yeah,
definitely not working on the good person so far. Because you would DM people and threaten them to get their handles.
Yeah, like Jet Li in The One. It's like, I will come to your dimension and
I
ruin
will find
your
you
shit.
In Bolsa and I will fucking take your handle.
And he doesn't use it. Like, I looked up his tweets. Like, his last one was from, like, I don't know, like a decade ago.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Come on. Give me what I need.
I haven't even found
that clout.
I haven't found, I haven't looked up Michael Nguyen, the X handle now, whatever Instagram handle.
Like,
now.
Like Michael?
Michael.
There's got to be
There's got to be one,
billion,
but I'm sure it's like, you know, pictures of like SF Giants hats. You know, that guy definitely lives in the Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, Vic Van Tran is fire. I guess we can just jumping, you know?
Yeah, we'll jump right in.
We'll just do this, dude. We always ask what kind of Asian we were this week. Do you want to start?
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm like a dying Asian.
Well, what?
I think I'm dying, dude.
How so?
I just turned 30.
Oh,
so,
you did?
Like, I know it's not like, I know it's not old, but I am starting to think about like my mortality, you know?
And when was your birthday?
End of August.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think I knew that.
Yeah, it's okay if you didn't.
Okay, sorry.
That's fine.
Okay, so.
But I went to the doctor for the first time in like years this week. And I think I might be like pre-diabetic.
Oh, shit?
Yeah. Because I got my blood test done, mm-hmm. and then I got like the reports in the email.
Yeah,
and then there's a lot of like red numbers. I don't know what they mean, but like I think my blood sugar is high. A little
red
bit.
Number. You mean like it's like high, whatever. It's not in the normal range.
Yeah, like the numbers were literally in the color red.
Oh wow!
And so I don't know what any of that means, but I'm gonna guess red's not good.
Did you? You haven't talked to your doctor about this?
No, I haven't called him. I tried to call him, but it was like outside of office hours.
Oh, I see.
But so I don't know, because my blood sugar was a little high. I was like, oh, that's a little scary. And then I remember like I ate a bagel like literally 30 minutes before I got my blood drawn. So maybe it was that. I'm hoping. I don't know.
That's how fragile we are.
Yeah.
It's just like one bagel is enough to like completely destroy our health.
You
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, this is all it is.
What was scary was like, so all day yesterday, I was sure I was pre-diabetic. Didn't change my lifestyle at all.
Yep.
I ate exactly what I was going to eat.
Well, hold on. What about the other numbers that you thought were like a problem?
Oh, that was it.
Okay.
It was just like the blood sugar, yeah.
All right, that's not.
And
that's
the
crazy.
Other things, I really don't know how to read any of it. That's what
right.
I'm called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does your family have a history of this?
Yeah, I think both my parents were pre-diabetic, but they got their numbers down.
Oh, shit.
And then my grandma, I think, is diabetic.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big thing for Vietnamese people and or Asians. We love
Yeah, so I looked diabetes. It up. Apparently, like, it's a big thing for everybody if you're not white.
Really?
Like, Latinos, Hispanics, Asians, and black people all have, like, higher dispositions of, like, becoming diabetic.
Is because of like the like all the rice we eat and shit?
That was my hypothesis. Right. Yeah. But I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess I'd rather die than not stop eating rice. So, I mean, that's just how,
yeah,
that's
that crossed
how, that's
my
how
mind.
We're going to roll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So did you change your like, are you thinking about changing any of your shit?
Well, I got to talk to the doctor first. I got to let him know about that bagel. I got to inform him.
Just text him a bagel emoji.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, yeah, this is
listen,
this is
I forgot to bring up my previous medical history. I ate a bagel 30 minutes before I got my blood drawn.
Is that one of the boxes, like in the, you know, in the questionnaire?
The questionnaire,
he's like, oh, do you have a history of glaucoma or hypertension? Oh, did you have a bagel?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, then it's not going to work.
Wasn't an everything bagel?
What kind of bagel was it? Did you have schmear? Fuck you. What's it? How did it make you feel? Like, because I've had that too where, I mean, now I have to keep track of one of my... I don't know which one it is. I have I have to be careful because my dad has high blood pressure.
Ah.
And I have one of the little indicator thingies. I can't remember which number it is, but it's always been high. And especially during the pandemic, it was like really high.
Wow.
And the doctor was like, it's probably fine because you're still young and your weight is okay. But, you know, you should think about, like, you know, drinking less and eating less. I was drinking a lot at the time. And this last time I went in there and I was still worried about it. It actually went down. It's still high, but it went down. So I was like, yes, I can go back to drinking more. So it was like, one of those numbers where I'm like, it's like, you know, as you get older, you realize that the problems that were small when you were in your 20s and 30s, but those are the things that will become big problems.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have like a sore knee in your 20s, when you become, if you don't take care of it, by the time you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s, you're eventually going to need a knee replacement because like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just builds over time.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Sorry. That's really scary. Sorry to freak you out, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. How did you feel about like, you know,
honestly, I felt a little relieved.
Oh,
I felt
really?
Relieved that there was something wrong because now I have like an answer. You know, now
really?
I have like a sense of direction. And pre-diabetes, you could reverse, I think.
But like, I mean, did you feel like you were unhealthy or some shit?
Sometimes I feel like fatigued, okay. You know? So now it makes sense. I'm just diabetic.
Oh, gotta lay up those bagels, bro.
Yeah, yeah. But before I got the blood work results back, like in the exam,
yeah,
he kept asking me questions like, you know... do you feel any pain? Do you like, do you feel unhealthy? Are your, does your family have like bad medical history? I'm like, no.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, all right, well, you seem fine. And then that's what made me feel bad. Cause I was okay, so why do I feel so bad? Why do I feel awful all the time?
Why didn't you tell him you feel awful?
Because he was like, oh, I remember why. Cause I was like, no, I feel fine. And he goes, well, if you're tired, it might just be like depression. That made me feel bad. I was like, yeah, your problem is your personality.
Yes,
a doctor told me that.
Did you have the questionnaire that asked you those questions about like depression and that kind of thing? Because that's how my doctor told me that I had he was telling me I have like a, what's the word? Alcohol relationship disorder.
Alcohol relationship disorder?
Because he was like asked all these questions and me, like a dumbass, I answered them all honestly.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, I think you might have to do, you might have this thing and maybe you should go to AA. He like told me like, maybe,
really?
Yeah. It's kind of, I was like, whoa, shit, do I really need to? And it kind of like made me really think about it. And it's something I've been thinking about for the last couple of years, but it was just from this questionnaire. And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about this shit, you know what I'm saying? I came in, that's the thing with a doctor, you go in there and you're like, oh man, my ankle is swollen. Mm-hmm. And then you'll leave either with you're fine, or you're an alcoholic. And I was like, I wasn't ready for that, dude.
Wow. That,
you know?
You went in because your ankle hurts. It's actually because of the Hennessy.
It's because you're destroying your life. Have you thought about that? Yeah.
I will say this, like doctors sometimes, doctors, they can be a little soft with like the alcohol, you know what I mean? Because I feel like if you tell them that you drink it all, what doctor is going to be like, oh, that's great.
Oh, I see.
That's
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. Because I have a friend in Houston who went to go see a doctor, and he lied on that test.
Oh, shit.
He said he drinks like, I think he said he drinks like 10 drinks a week.
Okay.
And then the doctor was like, that's way too high.
Mm.
But then my buddy was like, that was me being conservative.
Oh,
like,
shit.
I'm at like 15, 20.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
And he felt fine.
Right.
So I think that doctor was wrong.
Oh, wow.
So you're probably, that's my diagnosis, is you're probably fine. My diagnosis is you're just a chill guy. Yeah.
Thank you, Vic Van Tran.
Yeah, that's Dr. Vic Van Tran to you. That's another modification to my name.
But you were saying you feel terrible?
Sometimes I feel fatigued. Sometimes I feel depressed.
Really?
But yeah, I guess it's just diabetes.
Do you think that what's going on?
No big deal. No big deal. I'm so hesitant to like admit that I might be depressed, you know?
Why?
Like, just because it's become so like trendy to be depressed, you know?
Yeah.
It's like depression hack. You know? So I'm like, I'm probably
bipolar?
Just, I'm
that's
probably
like
just
one of the
dehydrated.
Cooler.
Bipolar sounds cool half the time.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it's. I don't want to say chill to be depressed, you know, but it's fairly common. You're right there. But at least then I think to your point about like you have, you know how you felt, you said you felt better once you kind of got a diagnosis that you got, you're pre-diabetic.
Because
then if you're like, okay, you have depression, then it's like, okay, well, at least I know that it's not just, you know, like you're
right.
Objectively getting someone to say like you are sad. You know?
Yeah.
And that's not, it's like more, it's less like a vague existential anxiety, you know? Because I have that all the time, which I don't even know where I would, like how to categorize that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever tried drinking?
A lot. That's why I'm at the AA meeting. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we can talk more about your depression or not if you don't want to talk about your depression. You know?
I don't know. I just don't want to admit it.
Mm.
And also, I just think like having a doctor tell you you have depression, it seems even sadder. You know, because like that's like a professional. They went to school to tell you your life sucks.
Yes, yes, yeah. Know? Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah.
And also, what do you know?
Hey, yeah, yeah. Get mad at them.
Yeah, what do they know? They've got their comfortable doctor's life, you know. I don't know anything about being a doctor, but it seems pretty seems pretty chill.
Yeah,
it seems pretty comfortable.
It would be better if the doctor's life was worse than yours and he told you.
What if they diagnose it with a stethoscope? They put the thing on your heart and they're like, your heart is sad.
Yeah, yeah. Or the cuff thingy and it's like squeezing your arm and it's like, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
It's just, dead. You're
You've
just
been
a
dead
bummer.
For 4 years.
I don't know. I think you know, as Vietnamese or in your case half Vietnamese dudes, you know, we got to talk about depression more often. Let me tell you something. This leads into my what kind of Asian I was this week. You got to ask me the question, by the way.
Oh, I got to ask you?
Yeah.
What type of Asian were you?
Okay, I was an Austin Asian.
Ooh,
went to
I know
Austin,
about that.
Yeah, you're from Houston.
Yeah.
Originally, I guess. And so I was there. And I'll get into it. But one of the things I did... I'm becoming my parents because I went to Austin. I've been a few times. So I've kind of gotten like the lay of the land. I definitely ate a lot of breakfast tacos, but I went out of my way to eat pho.
Let's go.
I was like, no, I just want to eat Vietnamese food. That, you know, it's like such an Asian parent thing to do. It's like no matter where you go and find the bowl of pho. Doesn't matter. So, but I went to, there's a little area. I don't know where it's called. It's like north of Austin. That's more like where the Vietnamese people live.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so fucking comforting. You go into the pho restaurant and like the decor looks like it was from TJ Maxx. You know, like I swear they had like Live Laugh Love up. They just didn't give a fuck. They were just like, we just need to put some shit up so that it's on the walls. So they had like the Water Buffalo poster and then they had Live Laugh Love and they had like,
we just need English on the walls.
We just need some English, any English at all. You know, it didn't matter. It could say tax time. It would just be fine. Just put it up there with some like fake flowers. And it was so homey and the food was good. The people were very nice. And then afterwards went to go get a coffee. So we go to like one of these, you know, Vietnamese bakery situations. Anytime you go to a Vietnamese bakery, you know it's banger if there's clumps of Vietnamese guys, like dad types, older dudes sitting around. I don't know what they're probably
doing,
talking about conspiracies and Trump, you know.
They're talking about fishing.
Yeah. They're talking about their days in the old country. And I was like, these guys gotta have depression. Or maybe they don't because they have this.
Yeah.
You know? This podcast is just us, the young version of that. If you put a microphone, a Rode mic, you know, and a Zoom H6 around that group of four or five old Vietnamese dudes, they would be talking about the same thing.
That they also all have diabetes.
They have diabetes. And they've been trying to do a little bit more Muay Thai, you know, and they have depression, you know.
Wow, dude. Wow, I really believe in that.
Yeah.
Because my dad was one of those guys.
Really?
Yeah, he would always disappear and be in the coffee shop all day, and I would like take care of my sister on the weekend.
Oh, you serious?
I was like 9.
Are you serious?
He'd just be gone all day. My mom would come home from work, and she'd be so mad. She'd be so mad. Like, were you in the damn coffee shop again?
Were you in the damn coffee shop? What are you doing?
Pressing with her little French press coffee.
Just having one. Among the four of them, just one.
I always wondered. I'm like, dude, how do you stay in a coffee shop all day? But like now it makes sense.
Yeah, they're just chilling.
Like a bar, I can understand. Like you're getting drunk. And you shouldn't be home. But a coffee shop, it's like you can't drink that much coffee.
Right, you can have like two.
Especially those Vietnamese coffees. They're so strong.
I like that. You can drink all you want, but the Vietnamese coffee, lay off the Vietnamese coffee, bro.
Yeah,
that's and they smoke a lot, I think. Well, some of them do, some of them don't. Like, depends, I guess. But
were they smoking inside?
No. So the one I went to, they were not smoking. But there's a lot of, I mean, there's one in Little Saigon, Lily's Fire. Shout to Lily.
That sounds legit.
It's legit, and it's super good. And her coffee shop has does great business. And there's lots of dudes, old Vietnamese dudes in camouflage, who are just sitting around, and there's a veranda on the outside, so there's a clump of them that smokes, and then some of them that don't smoke. But in either case, it's like, yeah, they're definitely like abandoned their children at home. You know, but I don't know what it is. It's like of all Vietnamese dudes, my dad does this too.
Yeah.
And my mom and dad are separated, so he can do whatever the fuck he wants. And he lives like in that area. He lives in Little Saigon, like in a, it makes it sound like terrible, but he lives in a trailer. But it's a really nice trailer. Fuck off. It's like a really nice one. But he lives in there, and he just goes to the coffee shop, and it's like, I don't know. It seems like Vietnamese dad nirvana. It's just like their like place where they feel a belonging.
Yeah. I think, it makes sense. That's what Friends was. They're just hanging out in the coffee shop. They're just Vietnamese friends.
They're all Joey. That's so funny. Yeah, they come home and they're just like, oh my God, it's so hard to find a date. Where are the good guys? You know?
We got to go back to home country to find a woman. Did your dad ever do that to you? It's like, we'll find you a nice girl in Vietnam.
They like threw it out there as, I think, a half joking. Uh-huh. They're like, oh, this is like something you could do. I was more afraid that like my dad would go and do that for himself. You know, like he'd go back and try to do that.
Because I think
he had some friends who did that, where they would go and they would find like a young woman who was sort of looking for something, you know, some sort of arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it happens. I don't know. I don't want to get into it. But like, they didn't tell me to do that. I think they were just like, it's fine.
Just fucking around. Yeah. Just playing. Yeah. My dad and my uncles would do that.
Really?
They'd show me like some Facebook.
Oh, interesting.
You know, like some bot. They're showing me. They're like, hey, some bot. Yeah, this woman thinks you're cute.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I feel now it's the other way, because like this way America's going and the trajectory of Vietnam, like maybe like a nice Vietnamese woman would come here and take one of us to be a trophy husband, you know?
Oh, I would love to be adopted. Some Vietnamese woman.
Yeah.
On some textile factory.
Yo, that sounds sick.
That does sound nice.
Right? And then you can be at the coffee shop just drinking and smoking. And
that would be fun. Yeah. I'd love to do that. I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. All right. New podcast idea. Which is the same cafe as this. We're just at Lily's Coffee Shop.
Yeah, Lily's Coffee Shop. That's a good name for the pod. Cafe Sida.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That was, so that was in Austin. Big ups. I couldn't tell. I was trying to try to organize a show, but I couldn't tell if I had a lot of listeners in Austin. I have some in Dallas and Houston. I think Austin less so. There's not as many Vietnamese people. I mean, there are some Asian. There's a lot of Asian people, but it's like, I don't know. I just haven't made that.
They're all at that college.
Right, exactly. So I went there. I did that. I hung out with some of my friends. It was a lot of fun. He listens to the show, so shouts to Brandon for
hey,
being there.
Hey, what's up?
And almost said, "Let's go, Brandon." Sorry. no, shouts to my boy.
Yeah.
You know, it was very. I was telling you before the show started. It's very Austin, yeah. And it's becoming more Austin by the minute, right? So it's like, you like cowboy boots? How about even taller cowboy boots? Mm-hmm. You like quirky vintage stores? Well, there's 400 of them. You know, there was a at one point we were in a park just like hanging out, like walking Neo around, and a woman on a unicycle like yells at us to get off the sidewalk so she could go by.
And the sidewalk is for unicycles.
I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Does she have like one of those horns? Yeah. It's just the horn on.
Yeah, dude. So yeah, I was like, I thought you guys couldn't talk, you know. So it was cool being there. It was nice to get away. But as soon as I landed in JFK, after like a super late, like, you know, there was like a delay and everything, land at like 11 p.m. local time. We're like exhausted. Neo like had fallen asleep like halfway through the flight. And I get to JFK and I'm just like, God, this place sucks. Thank God we're home.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, okay, to compare, just as a small example, when we landed in Austin, somebody had spilled some ice, just like some, like a thing of ice, like from a cup. And it was just on the ground and just like in the carpeted place. Just not a lot, just a little bit. But there was a worker standing right over it and she was like calling it in to have someone clean it up. And I was like, in JFK, they would have just counted that as we're cleaning that's floor cleaning. That we wouldn't even clean it up, you know?
Right.
And in Austin, they were actually doing their job. And then we would go to the elevator. We have to go one flight, one floor down. And there's a janitor in there. And he like chats us up. He's just like, how y'all doing? Oh, you got to be careful about this elevator. I got stuck in here the other day. You know, he was just like, it was like a 10-second ride. And he still was like so friendly.
Yeah.
You know? And then back in JFK, bathrooms are all funky. Nothing was open. You know, like a rat punched me in the face as soon as I landed. It was just like, but it was just so nice to be back. I don't know what it is.
It's charm. Yeah, it's the charm of the city. It's like lived in, you know.
Lived in.
And it's almost like a sense of community because it's like, this sucks, but we're all experiencing this. And we all know what this is.
Yeah.
You know? And like, and it feels real. It feels real. And like the friendliness and like the Southern charm. I grew up in it.
Yeah.
It feels very like surface level
and really?
Performative sometimes.
You were saying that it's like performative. It feels performative.
It does, especially in Austin.
Really?
I've always had a chip on my shoulder about Austin.
Really?
I'm not from there.
Yeah.
But like, because like the Southern charm thing, you realize like these people are nice, but they're not always kind.
Mm.
And then here, I think the stereotype is like people are rude in New York, but it's just that people aren't necessarily nice, but they're generally kind.
Oh, interesting.
Like they'll help you out.
Yeah.
But in the South, it's like they'll chat you up and they'll be friendly, but then once you get to know them like on a deeper level, they're like, well, you know, we don't really talk to them. we don't approve of that lifestyle in this house.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that.
Yeah, I feel that. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever had your own brain be your own worst enemy? Like when you're trying to relax or go to bed and you just can't because suddenly you're wondering what's going on with your life and if you're a good son or being a good dad and what about that email you were supposed to send and you get the picture. If this has happened to you, maybe think about trying therapy. Therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of against yourself. I've done just this, and I've been to therapy to help me understand what might be keeping my brain so preoccupied. I use what I learned in therapy every day to help me and my brain work together. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Asian today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Asian. I talk about ExpressVPN all the time because it's a great way to protect your privacy and security. But did you also know you can use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries? I bet you didn't. I watched tons of stuff on Netflix and honestly, I was starting to run out. But with ExpressVPN, I can access all kinds of stuff, like Friends on the UK Netflix, which I've been watching a lot of. I just fire up ExpressVPN, change my country to UK, and boom, that's it. You can choose from over 100 different countries, so just think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through. And it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works on any streaming service. Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD, no problem. Plus, it works on all your devices. I use it on my phone, but it works on smart TVs, media consoles, and more. So if you want to get access to hundreds of new shows, use my link right now, expressvpn.com/Asian, and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/Asian. expressvpn.com/Asian to learn more.
Yeah, I don't know. It was nice. It was like the food was good. It was a good time. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if I would feel like I should move there. Oh, that's what I want to talk about. I was trying to organize some shows right there, and you were helping me out. So thanks.
That's right. Yeah, I got you on the finest open mic.
The finest open mic, which I did. Very nice open mic. People at the Fallout Theater. Very nice. It was fun to do. I just did it because my friend wanted to see me go up, which was fine. And I was trying to organize some shows, and some of my, you know, I was like talking to different people, like just people who are not related to comedy, just like other friends I have. And they're like, oh, you should go do, you know, like Joe Rogan's show, and, you know, Joe Rogan's a club. He has a club there. And I think I know some people there. So maybe I could have tried to do it, but it was just like, I don't know. I felt kind of weird. I think I'm like buying too much into the, comedy discourse, you know, about like what people are saying as far as like that brand of comedy and how it's affecting Austin, you know. And I was talking to some of the comedians at the open mic too, and they were kind of like talking about that, like how it's kind of changed. And you know, there's like kind of old school Austin, which is like the Fallout Theater, and then there's kind of like new Austin, which is you know, this kind of newer folks, newer comedians, you know, with their followings. And I don't know, I didn't know what to make of it. I think in general, the sort of your regular comedy fan doesn't care. It's like, it's all the same. It's all comedy.
Yeah.
You know, you can do weird alt-right stuff or you can do like quirky Vietnamese dad shit. And it's all the same, you know? But for me, I feel like because I'm from Brooklyn, I have to like rep a certain kind of... I don't know. You know what I'm like saying? Style, like I run with this circle, you know, will that be okay? You know, I'm sure it would be fine, but I don't know. It just, it was something I was kind of like thinking about.
Yeah. I think it's very easy to get caught up in that, but I think you're right. I think comedy audiences don't really think about it that much. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't think about comedy as deeply as we do.
Yeah.
They're just going to see comedy, whatever that is. They don't even know what it's supposed to be.
Right.
You know? So of course they don't have like, in-depth history on the the tide of change and the comedy scene in Austin, you know? Yeah. But it is true. It has changed a lot. Austin used to be sort of like... It used to be sort of like the Brooklyn of Texas. It used to be like the Bushwick of Texas, where it was like very alt-y and very hipstery.
Yeah.
And they really prided themselves on that. And then during the pandemic, when all these LA guys came in, they sort of brought that style in. And I think enough time has passed to where they've like sort of just accepted each other. And the comics who were good before the LA exodus, you know, like they're still good. They're still doing spots. Now they have more spots.
Good, good.
You know, but there are a lot of hacks on both sides of the aisle down there. And I've seen them all.
What's the what's the chip on your shoulder with Austin thing? Like why?
Well, I mean... It was the closest thing to like an industry city that existed in Texas. And then there were a lot of comics there who had like an air of superiority.
Really? Even more so than Houston, Dallas? I felt that. I would think that those, since they're such big towns, but I guess it's just...
Yeah, it is kind of like baffling how like small the comedy scene is relative to like the population of the city.
Interesting.
You know? But also like there was... Like, Austin felt very performative because it was, like, this liberal city on a hill in Texas, you know? But, like, it was, like, they're, like, white liberal. Like, they're very woke and they're very progressive, but only in, like white terms. You know what I mean? It's still white people making the rules on what is diverse or what is, like, inclusive or not.
Oh, shit.
And then in Houston and Dallas, there are actual, like... There's actual diversity. Like, the white people are hanging out with the black people, are hanging out with the Asians, and we're all mixed, you know? And so, like, there's actually, like, familiarity. But in Austin,
dude,
it's just white,
fuck, bro.
It's just white circles hanging out with other white people and going, I don't think we should be talking about black people this way without ever consulting an actual black person. They're all on the other side of the highway.
Yeah.
Austin's crazy gentrified.
Oh, it's so gentrified.
Yeah, yeah. So there's all, that's also a big reason why Austin used to annoy me. But you know, but if you have a show in Austin, I would love to do it.
I am available. Okay, I see that. I see what you're saying. Yeah, that is definitely something I felt too when I got there. There would be this kind of thing, you know, you see in the Bay too, where it's like there would be these houses which were, you know, these kind of old Texas houses that had, you know, a dilapidated Nissan Altima in the front. You know what I'm saying? That was stripped for parts.
Yes.
And it was just like that, but like, you know, four generations of people had lived there. Mm-hmm. And then next to it is like this brand new fancy house that has like a Tesla charging in the front.
Yeah.
You know? And you're just like, what is happening here? You know?
You know,
like,
what's happening.
Oh,
there.
I know what's happening. And they're not going into each other's barbecues, you know? Yeah. Yo, that's such an interesting point, man.
Yeah. I think that of a lot of like woke spaces, it's like, it's still very white dominated because they're still the ones making the rules on inclusiveness and stuff.
Whoa, dude, you're more woke than I thought, dude.
Yeah, it's like a reverse woke. It's like I've gone off the ledge and it's like circled back around.
I feel we should talk about something dirty in order to like cleanse ourselves of this woke conversation. But no, I think I hear your point.
Get laid in Austin.
Oh,
get
dude,
some Texas
didn't I?
Puss.
Oh my god, I fingered so many chicks. Okay, that feels better. No, it was fun. Maybe I'll go back. I gotta go to Houston. I would love to go there.
You should go. Let me know. I'll go with you. Maybe we'll organize something where I'm like back in town. We'll do like a show.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
I gotta, you know, we'll do it at a Vietnamese coffee shop, dude.
Oh, that'd be awesome. And the Vietnamese food in Houston is top notch.
I've heard.
It's like, I would say maybe like top three Vietnamese cuisine cities in America.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really good.
Okay. I'm down. I'm going to check it out. You got a new podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about that?
I got a podcast with my friend Art Kai, really funny comic here in New York. And it's called Blunderbuss. And it's a podcast about like regrets and mistakes and the things that keep you up at night.
Oh, wow.
And then, we just dissect that. It's probably horrible for our mental health in the long run. But we'll run with it while we can. But we want to start having guests. I think that'd be like an interesting way to like get to know people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean... Comedians are just full of regrets, I feel.
I know. Well, like, I think everybody is. And I think it's very telling to see, like, okay, what types of things are bothering you?
Yeah.
You know, is it, like, a big thing?
Right.
Or, like, is it a small thing that you can't get over?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What, I mean, I've only listened to the pilot. I guess only the pilot's out right now.
Yeah. Yeah, right now, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised that, because for me, I would have, you guys talked about, well, quote unquote, relatively small blunders.
Uh-huh.
And I would have gone right for like the big one.
Well, that's why we want to have guests, because like, I mean, how many life-changing regrets are you going to have week to week? You know what I mean? But like, if we have guests and they could just go straight for the jugular each time and just like share their biggest mistake.
Yeah. Well, why did you want to start? Like, what was the question that you wanted? I guess, like, why did you want to start the podcast? This kind of podcast?
Yeah, Art just brought it up. I thought it was an interesting angle, and I need that content, baby.
Yeah, I know.
I got to post stuff for my career. So, yeah, I'm like mining other people's deepest regrets for my own gain.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's what I do here. You know, yeah. I make light of your depression and talk about, you know, your anxiety, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's the two things that should be made light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As light as possible and then monetized. You know, because this episode is brought to you by Helix Sleep Mattress, everyone.
Oh, that was smooth.
That was smooth. Do you have like a small blunder? I know you want to save the content. Is there, can you give the listeners a taste with like a small blunder that you would talk about on the show?
I want to take a second and talk to you about how much I love my Helix Sleep Mattress. After me and my wife got married, I realized it was time for us to have real-ass adult mattresses. Something comfortable and cozy instead of the futon on the ground I was used to. So we turned to Helix. Helix has a sleep quiz to help you find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. Take it, find the mattress for you, and it ships straight to your door free of charge. And because everyone is unique, Helix has several different mattresses to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Some have memory foam layers for side sleepers, and others have more responsive foam for back sleepers like me. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 to 15 year warranty, depending on the model. Helix is offering 25% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners in honor of Black Friday. Go to helixsleep.com/Asian and use code HELIXPARTNER25. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Oh, what have we talked about? Let's see. I think on the pilot episode, I talked about my brother destroying me at chess.
Yes, that's
that,
right.
Yeah, that felt really bad.
Oh, and for listeners, your brother is like 10.
Yeah, he's 10. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. Yeah. He's a child. Oh, we were talking about this earlier. This happened. I brought a date to a comedy show one time.
That's right.
And it was never a good idea. But
that's a terrible idea.
Sometimes I like to gamble. You know, I like the risk. And I bring a girl and I bomb.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, that feels awful by itself, but like, bring somebody that you really want to impress, and this is supposed to be me at my
like
this is what I do,
right?
This is who I am, this is what I devoted my life to, and I suck right now. And so I'm like bombing.
Is this like your first date, second date?
This was like we had gone out a few times before.
Okay
yeah.
Was she excited to see you? Was she like, oh my gosh, can't wait?
That's what she said.
Okay.
And she's seen me before, so luckily.
Oh, okay.
She like, it hasn't all been horrible,
right?
You know, but yeah, sometimes I feel bad bringing friends to comedy shows because I feel like, yeah, right. Yeah.
They're
I feel
bad.
Like they're doing it out of obligation.
Right.
And then like, I'm so jaded to it. I assume that they're also like just tired of this bullshit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But they oftentimes they enjoy it. But anyways, I'm eating shit on stage. And then halfway through my set, I straight up tell the audience, I'm like, look, I brought a girl here, okay? Like, please give me
this.
Something. I need this.
Did they laugh at that?
They laughed at that, and then they went straight to hating me again.
Can I just say, though, that if... Let me just say this, okay? If I had been in the audience, I would have been dying the whole fucking time, man.
Because you're a comic.
I love
so
it,
funny.
Dude.
Yeah,
it's
I would
so
too.
Funny.
I would too.
Oh,
and I love stories about bombing. That's another thing about regrets and mistakes.
Yeah.
Is that like there's nothing fun or funny or endearing about listening to somebody win at life and succeed. Nobody relates to that. 90% of us are losers.
Yeah.
Like, tell us how you suck.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what being a New Yorker is all about.
It's about
how much
sucking.
This sucks. You suck. I suck. We all suck together.
And we all get it.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. How about, do you have a really good bomb story then?
A good bomb.
That's a good one.
Story.
I guess you did. You had one right there.
I did. I've got so many bomb stories.
Oh, do you?
I got one time this guy in Houston died.
Oh, shit.
And so I didn't know him. So fuck him. I don't know. And so, but they, I got. put on like his benefit show.
Oh,
like,
wow.
To raise money for his funeral.
Okay.
And sounds like a fun time. I know.
Oh my God, yeah.
But yeah, it went just as bad as you'd expect. Like nobody was in the mood. And then like as I was on stage, you could hear the sounds from the outside. There was literally like a cricket like chirping. And then my friend in the back, Zahid, he was like, is that a cricket right now? Is this actually happening? There was that. One time I did like this Asian comp. No, this Asian like just arts festival in Houston. And then the show that I was on, it was just like mixed.
Uh-huh. You know?
And I went up after a girl who just did like three poems about like the Cambodian genocide.
Yes.
Yeah. Then I had to go up after that. It's like, all right, who's ready to laugh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of bad ones.
Yeah. I mean, the mixed shows are always going to be. I did a festival thing, and it was fine. But I feel like when it's like a music festival and the comedian goes up, I feel like I'm like ruining the party. You know?
Yeah, me too.
It was like, oh, everybody was having such a good time. Uh-huh. You know, and you guys, you know, want to hear about how much my life sucks, you know, like I almost felt bad, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fine. I didn't like do that terrible, but they were very polite. Let's just say that.
It's like, it's not the content of your comedy that ruins the vibe. It's the fact that now everybody has to pay attention.
Yes, exactly.
It's so like demanding.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good point. Yeah. It was their fault. Yeah.
No, it was their fault. It's always their fault.
Yeah. It's always their fault. since it's just you and me, I was hoping we could talk about, would you say you do Muay Thai?
Yeah, that's like predominantly what I train, but also very much a hobbyist.
No, that's
because
totally
like I train with like people who like compete and stuff.
Sure.
And so I would not put myself in their category at all.
Whatever. I mean,
I'm like an open micer for like Muay Thai.
Whatever. That's as we all know, open mic level is the most brutal of levels. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just realized too that we're going to be two Asian guys talking about martial arts.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I'm surprised there are not a lot of podcasts like that.
Asian guys talking about martial arts?
If you think about
it, I guess so.
You would think that the first thing we would put out, Asian guys, would be like, oh, let's talk about like Wing Chun or some shit.
I don't
even know. We don't even, we're not, that's like, you know, the way that race is going in this country is that like the best martial artists in America are like from Brazil. You know, like there's like, we're not dominating the UFC. We're like breaking stereotypes right there. Like, you think there would be mad Asian people, like, in the UFC. There aren't.
You would think.
You know?
Yeah,
they're all from, like, what is it?
They're all from Dagestan.
Dagestan.
From Brazil.
Yeah, from Brazil. Yeah. Uh-huh. That makes no sense.
I have a conspiracy.
Yes.
I just don't think that those countries push MMA. Like, I think there's a better history and better infrastructure for, like, kickboxing. Or,
oh,
like,
that's a good point.
Because, like, in like Thailand or like Japan, kickboxing and Muay Thai is still huge. And every once
that's
in a
true.
While, they'll have a foreigner come in and like reach the top of the sport. But I think those countries just aren't focused on MMA. And it's like a relatively new sport.
That's true.
Yeah. Whereas like BJJ translates really well into MMA. And obviously, there's like a long history of it too. Yeah. I'm a huge nerd about this stuff.
I love talking about it.
Yeah.
Yes. And Jenny's not here to stop us.
Yeah. MMA's for the boys. Yeah. The thing I don't like about... do you ever feel embarrassed to talk about it with other people?
Yes.
Me too.
But at the same time, I can't help it.
Yeah.
I think about... Okay. So did you hear about that trend about how men are always thinking about the Roman Empire? Did you hear about
that?
Yeah. So we were talking about that before and like, what is your Roman Empire? And I was talking about how I actually do think about the Roman Empire because I'm a history dork.
Uh-huh.
But I also, one of the things I think about all the time is jiu-jitsu. All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
I think about it all. Like, I was just pooping just now before you came and I was thinking about jiu-jitsu. And I hear what you're saying. And this is, don't be embarrassed. Just... imagine we've already lost all the listeners at this point. Okay, there's nobody listening anymore. Just Brandon.
Yeah,
it's just me, you, and Brandon,
you,
baby.
Brandon. Yeah.
Okay, and that's something I did in Austin with my friend because he was asking me about it, and I was like, "Oh yeah, jiu-jitsu is awesome." I mean, you know, blah blah blah. And I was like, "Let me show you some." So I showed him some. He was so uncomfortable. He was so uncomfortable, like being on in my clothes guard. I could just tell he was humoring
me. Oh, you actually
put
him in
my clothes guard, and he was so like uncomfortable. He was being very you know, a great sport about it. And yeah. I was like showing him these things and he's like, this is nice. This is cool. And I was like, okay, we can stop.
Bro, at one time, I have a similar story. I was with my two friends who trained jiu-jitsu, their brothers.
Yeah.
And we were at a strip club.
Oh, no.
And we're drunk. And they start talking about jiu-jitsu. And then they start rolling on the floor at the strip club. That's so gross, by the way. And the bouncer came over and was like, you guys can't do that here. So we almost got kicked out of a strip club. Not for harassing anybody but ourselves by doing martial arts.
I would bet you that if you ask that bouncer, he's like, yeah, this happens all the time. Honestly, no one ever touches the strippers.
Yeah, he knows all the positions. He's like, they're doing half guard over there.
You can't be putting people in the saddle like that, dude. yes, okay. Embarrassed? Yes, okay. Why do you feel embarrassed?
Well, I feel embarrassed talking about the UFC because, like, I know the image of, like, what a UFC fan is.
Uh-huh.
And it's completely accurate. They're all, like, red pill, douchebag, men's rights kind of, you know, guys. And I hate them, too. I just love the sport.
The sport is sick, dude.
The sport is sick. Yeah. I'm wearing... This is Max Holloway's hoodie.
Oh, no shit.
I wear this, like, all the time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Has he fought recently?
Yeah, he retired the Korean Zombie in August.
I didn't want to watch that because I didn't want to see the Korean Zombie get hurt.
It was really good. He kind of went out on a shield and then like
that guy's the man.
Yeah, I cried,
dude. He's the man. I mean, and that's what the thing is about UFC. Is it really isn't, I mean, it's the sport, the technical aspect of the sport is fire, but like the drama of it is even better.
It's, I always tell people, it's live action Shonen Jump. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You're watching their stories and their build the arc, and then
can they come back? Yeah. You know?
And then the climax is like a big battle. And here's why I love like combat sports is because it's like all other sports are a metaphor for fighting.
Yes,
so this
yes,
is
yes,
the
yes.
purest sport.
Right.
You know?
This is
like
actual fighting.
Like basketball is like these two teams are going to get together and battle.
Yeah, it's going to be really a rumble. Battling. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they can't even touch each other. Yeah.
You literally can't even bump into each other or else it's a foul and the other team gets 3 points. You know?
But in this one, you're supposed to bump into each other with your fists.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As hard
as
possible, in fact. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
That's sick. Wait, what? Why also are you embarrassed? Why? Yeah, you're embarrassed because like to admit it that you would be you like the sport.
Because I know like the fan base is toxic.
Oh yeah,
you know, and I hate it too. I went to go watch a UFC card at a Buffalo Wild Wings one time.
Oh,
it just like confirmed all my fears about being a fan. You know, it was some like. Some guy with like some skinhead with like tattoos on his neck.
Kill him! What are you doing?
Come
just
on.
Get up! Get you up! Know. This is okay.
Yeah, it's really annoying. Yeah, I wonder what that the equivalent of that is in like other sports. I wonder if that exists.
I think I'm sure it there's. Yeah, like in whatever soccer, there's like hooligans and I don't know. Yeah. Fucking if you like ever go to like I don't know. Like a Jets game or like fucking I don't know the Red Sox. You know like. Yankees less so, but like, you know, like the Mets are kind of like, it's all depressed guys. So maybe not
I
them,
felt that. I
but you know,
Mets game.
You know, you go to like a Red Sox game and it's like, you're in fucking Boston, you know, it's like racism is encouraged there, you know, it's going to be like weird, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm sure there is that. I mean, there is something amazing too about being with people who are into MMA also.
Yeah.
I watched it. You should go and try to watch it like in like a bar in the East Village or like in Brooklyn because there are dorky MMA fans like me who you know, we're into it. We got the bloodlust too, but like it's just like it's still like fun to just be with a community like that. Like the last one I went to a bar to watch. This was McGregor versus Khabib. So it was like that one.
Uh-huh.
And it was a crazy card.
Yeah.
And this is the one where Dylan Danis
jumps.
Yeah. And then like
Khabib jumped
over it. Yeah. Over the fence to fight him.
Yeah.
And Dylan Danis used to go to my jiu-jitsu school.
Oh,
so
no.
I would see him sometimes. He had already left the school at this point. I guess he got kicked out.
Yeah.
But like the like the bar that I was in was like, this isn't real. This is crazy. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was like fake. I thought it was like, oh, wow, now we've just gone straight WWE. And I was like, this is crazy. And to see Khabib do it, because he felt like, I feel he has such discipline. He would be like, never be bothered by shit like that.
Right.
But like, he got really, you know, worked up, jumped over the fence, and it was all this craziness.
Yeah.
Man, it was so cool.
Dude, I was so disappointed when that happened, because I was like, this just confirmed what everybody thinks. That was my January 6th. <It's> like, when he jumped the cage, I was like, this is not what we're about.
We regret the events of this evening. Yeah, dude.
But yeah. I like watching it by myself, you know? And like... I think the image of people whenever they think of somebody watching like fighting is the Buffalo Wild Wings
guys. Right. Like, yeah, like, kill. Drinking and we're throwing like tequila bottles.
Yeah. And that's like scary. But I think what's scarier is the way that I watch. I watch in complete silence. I watch somebody almost get decapitated, no emotion.
Yeah, in the dark.
Yeah, perfectly executed.
Mm-hmm. You get the elbow a little
like
higher.
Like Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, exactly. Like, we're going to watch some fights today.
That's actually true. I mean, I'll watch, like, I'll watch jiu-jitsu competitions at night, and I'm just like, just completely silent. Sometimes I don't even have the sound on. Because I don't like to listen to like the stupid commentary.
Yeah.
I'm just like, just watching two dudes try to kill each other. I'm just like, yes. Yeah. Now. Do it faster, you know?
Like sometimes I'll watch it in Spanish.
Oh, shit. Because
like, I just want to hear the environment. Something, right. Yeah, but I don't want to hear what they're
saying.
The
commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you do feel like a Roman emperor, you know, just like super cold-blooded and just like watching two people be violent to each other for your pleasure. You know?
Yeah. After the decision, you're just like...
Yeah. Exactly. He must die. I was bored. We were also talking about we can get very nerdy about it. It is very like technical.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you do more of a striking thing.
Yeah. But we were talking about how a lot of the technical aspects are the same.
Yes.
Yeah. Like the strategies. At least there exists a strategy in both.
Right. It's not just whale on the guy.
Right. Because I think that's what most people see.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't a sport. They're just hitting each
other. Yeah. And sometimes it's kind of fun when two fighters have like just devolved into just punching each other. Uh-huh. Like usually at the end when they realize that neither one of them can be knocked out by the other person. And then you start wailing. And there's like, I don't know, 20 seconds left in the fifth round. It's like, fine. But, you know, that's pretty fun. For a while, it's very technical. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think people are like blind to that. But I don't know how to talk about it without getting too like technical, but like I'll listen to like podcasts and I'll like read breakdowns on like fighters' games and stuff. And it was like what we were saying earlier is like each fighter has their own strength, and they're trying to funnel the options into like a scenario where they can implement their strengths on the other guy.
Yes.
So like we were talking about tonight, like Alex Pereira fights at MSG.
Right.
And his money shot is like the left hook.
Right.
So everything that he does, all of like the strikes that he throws are just to set up scenarios or openings so where he can land this left hook and finish the fight, you know? And so it's like interesting to see how they do that and what their process is and how that differs from everybody else, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like, and then metas start to form, you know, like strategies start to form. So then like the next generation has to figure out how to exploit the old generation strategy.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like what? Like you have an example?
I guess like a good example would be like, okay, like Anderson Silva comes to the UFC, right? And nobody really fought like him. He was like a prolific counter striker.
Yeah.
Because at the time
he was like
all
my favorite.
Yeah, me
so
too.
Long.
He was awesome. Yeah,
he was so good.
He's still like my greatest of all time.
Oh yeah,
just
for
the air that he had.
Oh
know?
Yeah,
but like
wouldn't put his hands up. It was insane.
Yeah. But like at the time, the meta was just like, you know, throw wild punches to close the distance.
Yeah.
You know, grab the takedown.
Right.
And from there, you wrestle.
Ground
and pound. But he introduced like counter striking, and so during these wild exchanges, he would just, you know, he counter strike him, knock him out, you know. And then so So he introduces a new era of that type of striking, elevate striking, and then like the new generation, you know, has to counter that. How do you counter that? You feint to like counter the counter.
Right.
And so that's like a very broad sense. It's just interesting to see how the sport has evolved by building on what the predecessors were doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like that applies to really anything. Like sports or even like arts, I think everything builds upon itself and to like push its form further, you know.
Yeah,
like I see that in stand up all the time.
Look at you with the brain cells.
Oh yeah, I'm a depressed nerd.
The way I think about it too is when it's applicable to like you and I, like enthusiasts, like you and I who are practicing. It's kind of like we're like, you're like playing Pokemon, right? Or Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
And you're like, you set up your deck around a certain set of cards that you really want.
Uh-huh.
And you like implement your strategy around like, can I get these cards out on the table so that I can like do whatever.
Oh,
do you know what I'm saying? Like I'm gonna cast Sierra Angel with giant growth. Blah.
Yeah.
That was very bad. But no, you know,
like if you were playing Yu-Gi-Oh and your whole game revolved around like Exodius.
Yes, exactly.
Then you would just play cards that would let you pick the cards that you want from your deck so you could get Exodius in your hand.
Exactly. So that's the main thing. You have to get that in your hand first, and then you can deploy it, and then you can do your thing.
Yeah, that was really embarrassing that I knew that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like the sport talk a bit about it. If you really kind of break it down, we're not that different from the guy playing Yu-Gi-Oh or the guy playing Magic the Gathering or playing Street Fighter 6 or whatever the fuck it is.
We're nerds.
We're nerds, okay? Who have concussions. Nerds with concussions.
Yeah.
That's a sick ass podcast right there.
Dude, we came up with like four different podcast ideas.
Nerds with concussions is a good one. Okay, the last MMA specific question here.
Oh, okay.
What do you think? Okay, so I think right now it's sort of the game right now is everyone is trying to counter the Dagestani wrestling thing.
Yeah.
Right, because God, I don't even know like all the different guys. Any dude with a chin strap beard, right, is very dangerous. How do you counter the chin strap beard? Because that's not quite true. Like I think Khabib, his whole thing was like his striking was just like okay, but he would get you down on the ground and you could not get up.
Yeah.
And now I think people are getting, but like Volk was better at getting up.
Yeah.
You know, from his fight with
Makhachev.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would, you know, trained with some jiu-jitsu guys, Craig Jones and stuff, and so he could get up.
Yeah.
Right. And so now it's kind of swinging back the other way, where it's like those guys have to work on their striking in order to make sure that they can finish the guy on the standing.
Yeah.
And then also have the whatever. So I feel like people are like, the meta right now is like, how do you counter that? How do you counter the...
Such a good example.
Yeah.
Well, I think I read an article that said like Volk was using like an inside like butterfly.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
To like
yes,
counter
yes.
Makhachev.
Right. He would put his foot on the inside there, and then that would destabilize him enough to like get space to get out. Which is very jiu-jitsu.
That is very jiu-jitsu, so maybe it's stuff like that. I also think that style just requires so much athleticism and endurance that only guys like Khabib or Islam can pull that off.
You have to be in pretty good shape. To push the pace. You know?
I don't think that's a style that could be replicated unless you were birthed from the mountains of Dagestan.
Yeah.
I know Hamzat kind of has that style, but he really seems to blow his load in the first round.
Yes.
He had that fight against Usman and against Gilbert Burns where it went past the first round, and he seemed like a totally different fighter after that. You know, so but yeah, I don't know. I'm not as well versed in jiu-jitsu, so I don't know what techniques could be used to like counter that style, but it does seem like the curve is starting to happen, because it seemed like Volkanovski figured something out.
He figured out something, you know. And I think you were right about the gas tank, because a lot of those guys had pretty good gas tanks, but Volk had amazing gas tank.
Yeah.
And so if he could get to the fifth round or something, he can make something happen.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He was just too small.
Yeah, he's kind of small.
But yeah, even in the second fight before Volk got knocked out, he looked really strong in the clinch.
Yep.
And it looked like he was really prepared to defend takedowns and get back up.
Right.
But he got surprised by that head kick.
Yeah, the head kick, man. Mm-hmm. Everybody saw that. Nobody saw that. Okay, well, we have only one listener left.
and it's Alexander Volkanovsky.
He's like, guys, you guys check out this podcast called Asian Not Asian.
Yeah,
this podcast goes all over the place. The person I had before you is Delia Kai, who is a
I met her. Vogue she's writer. Great. Yeah.
Oh, she's great. But like, we talk about like rom coms.
Yeah,
which was great. It's so fun to talk to her about that. And then now we talked about just now for 20 minutes about MMA.
And really, like, we really got into like some niche shit.
Yeah,
inside butterfly.
Inside butterfly. Fly hook with like the near side leg. Yeah. It's very tricky.
Wow,
that's something I do to wrestlers all the time because they overcommit. Anyways, okay, so I wanted to try one last segment here. We used to have this thing on the podcast when it was me and Fumi called Asian Yelpers. And what we would do is we would go to some place.
Whenever Asian people get hate crime and they yelp. Hey, stop, that hurts.
Hey. We would go to Yelp and we would find something that had generally good reviews, like, I don't know, like the Statue of Liberty or some shit. And then we would find Asian people on there, and you could always find them, A, because of their profile picture, but then also because they would always have like 5,000 reviews. And and then we would see what they would say, and a lot of times they would be like, it was okay or some shit. Like, they would like we call that Asian Yelpers, and we would read the things. But I want to do a little twist on it where you're Asian and you're going to leave, or you're going to leave a review on something, and I told you it could be on anything. So okay. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can just, what do you want to review?
Oh, I wanted to review punctuality and just like being on time.
Yes.
2.5 stars.
Out of 4 or 5?
Out of 5.
Wow.
So overrated.
Really?
Yeah, being on time. Because I'm a very punctual person.
Okay.
Like, I get anxious. I like to be at places on time or earlier, you know? I always pay the price. It's never cool, you know? I'm the guy who shows up at the party early. I'm like, you guys need help with the chairs or anything? Can I do it? You know? Comedy is the worst for punctuality.
Oh, you
get the shows early. What are you rewarded with? Like, you want to bite the bullet? You want to go up first?
Go
the
first.
Worst spot?
Yes, exactly.
You know, they never start on time.
Never.
And like, and the people who do show up late, it's always fine. It's never a problem.
Yes.
People like them more. It makes an impression.
Yeah.
You know, if you get there first, it's so easy just to be forgotten because you've been there for forever. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm working on being late.
Yeah, there you
more
go.
More often.
Is that the, a good review always has alternatives. And so I guess is the alternative to be late.
Yeah, the alternative is to be late. But I guess by how much? I would say like 15 minutes late. 30 minutes late.
For a show?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's good.
What about for like a social situation?
Gotta be late.
Really?
Gotta be late.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only place where I'm like consistently late is like my day job.
Mm.
But every other aspect of my life is like I'm always too early or too on time.
Yeah.
And it's not a brag. It sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I feel too, the punctuality thing, it like will fuck with you in an unexpected way. So like you've opened for Ronnie.
Yeah, we both did.
Yeah.
We did the Beacon.
Right.
Yeah.
And, when we did that, I was first.
Right.
And it was pretty punctual. The show started right around when it was supposed to start, but because it started right around when it was supposed to start, the theater wasn't full yet.
Yeah.
And which was fine. That part was fine. But then my friends who were not punctual missed it.
Yeah.
Missed my set.
Yeah.
So me being punctual and starting and being the first one, that really fucked up my shit with my friends because they didn't see my set.
Oh, that sucks.
I know.
I remember that night. You went to go hang out with them afterwards.
I know.
And did you like hang that over their heads?
I totally did.
Good. Good.
Oh, and then you and I hung out and we like stole a bunch of food or something.
I blacked out that night.
You did?
I lost my camera.
Oh, but you got it back.
I got it back. Yeah.
Where did you lose it? Like
Karaoke bar in K-Town.
Oh, you went with them after?
Yeah.
Somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was crazy.
That was a good
What a great night.
That was great.
I don't know, my one of that was my favorite night in comedy ever.
Really?
My favorite moment was being on the train on the way to the Beacon.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like, I'm about to do something very special.
Yeah.
Nobody on this train has any idea.
I know.
You know, I just felt like that was a very special night.
That was a really cool night. Yeah. And it's all been downhill since.
It kind of has.
Completely been downhill. that's how you ended up on this couch with me. This is now your new low point. It comes back up.
But you said something that night that really stuck with me.
Oh.
It was because we were both, it was before the shows, and we were talking about how we weren't feeling nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like feeling nervous about not feeling nervous.
Oh.
And then you said like, no, this is like the reward.
Yeah.
Like everything that we had done has gotten to this point. So this is like the gift that comedy is giving back to us.
That's very true.
So, that helped me a lot that night.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I always think the big shows, I'm never going to get on TV, but I feel like if I got a shot to be on TV, I wouldn't be nervous. I'd be like, this is finally what it's all about. All those terrible shows, all those horrible things I had to experience. Of course I want to do well, but it's like, I did the work. This is the good part, you know? I hope.
No, I think that's a very constructive way of going about it.
Yeah.
I would be a wreck. I don't deserve this.
I'm terrible.
My
doctor says I'm pre-diabetic. Well, thanks very much for joining this podcast and helping me cull the followers as far as our extended MMA section.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I think maybe I could do the thing which Joe Rogan did, which is like split off an MMA podcast from the main one.
Dude, let me know. I would love to nerd out about it.
Yeah, nerds with concussions. That's a pretty good one.
That's a good one.
Do you have it? You've never had a concussion. Have you?
I think I might have gotten a minor one.
Oh, really?
From this comic Hayden.
Oh, shit.
We were like sparring. He got me pretty good. I was like, I had a little bit of a buzz the next few days.
Oh, shit.
But I feel fine.
Does that guy do Muay Thai or boxing?
I think he used to box. I think he used to do like Golden Gloves.
So he got you.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But it's still fun.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, where can our fans find you and your work?
Oh, yeah, I'm on Instagram. It's Vic Van Tran.
Yo.
On there. I've adopted the name. And then also, I got a podcast, Blunderbuss, with Archai. We'll be releasing new episodes. We're going to try and do stuff. It's like more interactive with guests and with questions. And then just like stand up around New York. I visit Texas quite often, and I'm hoping to start touring. So if you could support my stand up, that's the main thing.
All right. Well, thanks again. You can always find the podcast at Asian Not Asian Pod, and you can find me on there at Nice Pants Bro. Come check out our shows. Again, we've got one. The one in Brooklyn, that's going to be December 8th. And then the other one, we're still setting it up, but it'll be most likely the week of December 18th. So check out that when the tickets are available. And until then, we love ya. Bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.